This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, April 17th. And no moves to speak of.
As we predicted.
Here on the Patriots.com roster report.
We advertise in the open that we know who got cut and who was on the roster.
Nobody. Talk to you next week.
See ya.
Now, we have plenty to speak about because we are coming down the home stretch here towards the 2009 NFL draft, which should be an exciting one for Patriots fans as the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl, according to the experts in Vegas, has an opportunity to get younger, faster, and deeper in all aspects of the roster. And that's what we'll talk about a little bit first before moving on to one of the youngest, fastest, best players on the roster. Eric Scalavino is alongside here, and he spoke with Gerard Mayo, the 2008 Rookie of the Year in the NFL, last year's number 10 overall pick. He's going to update you on what Gerard's doing and whether or not he's lost a little bit of the drive that made him so famous as a rookie. You know, those stories of him 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning, he'd be here. We'll find out if he still has that same drive. But in terms of actual roster-type things, one of the things I want to go over in this podcast is visits. As most fans know who listen to these podcasts, I would assume, you're allowed 30 pre-draft visits of prospects to your stadium or facility. And the teams don't announce those generally, but they find a way of trickling out there through media reports. And our friends over at PatriotsDaily.com have kept track of those, and I'm going to run down 22 or so that have been reported in various media outlets, and then just get your reaction to anything. A lot of people like to say Paul Perillo, that gives you an idea of what positions they're looking at. After I run down this list, you may not feel that way.
Yeah.
Defensive end and linebacker Connor Barwin. Andre Brown, running back, North Carolina State. Cornerback Alphonso Smith, Wake Forest. Strong safety Patrick Chung, Oregon. Strong safety William Moore, Missouri. Free safety, Louis Delmas, Western Michigan. Defensive end, Evander Hood from Missouri. Quarterback, Stephen McGee, Texas A&M, also flat-out athlete. Guard, Rich Ornberger from Penn State. Tackle, Adrian Grady from Louisville. Cornerback, Malcolm Jenkins from Ohio State. Tight end, Bear Pasco, blocking tight end from Fresno State, and our good buddy Pat Hill. Defensive end, outside linebacker Robert Ayers out of Tennessee. Linebacker Jason Williams from Western Illinois. Wide receiver Brooks Foster from North Carolina. Defensive end and well-known pool jumper Jerron Gilbert out of San Jose State. Quarterback, wide receiver, jack-of-all-trades athlete Pat White out of West Virginia. Defensive tackle Terrence Knighton out of Temple. Cornerback Vontae, Andy Hart's selection in the first round, Davis out of Illinois. Wide receiver Brandon Tate out of North Carolina. South Florida linebacker Tyrone McKenzie. And maturity lacking tackle Andre Smith out of Alabama, coming from Nick Saban. Paul, wide range. We have top prospects of Andre Smith's and Vontae Davis and those types, Malcolm Jenkins, to blocking tight ends like Bear Pasco. Injured guys, healthy guys. So just summarize your thoughts on these visits and where it may take us come draft weekend.
Well, obviously, it could take you anywhere, and I think that's the best part of the draft is that no one really knows what teams are going to do and which directions they're going to go. You see,
but doesn't that speak of what the Patriots are this year?
Yeah.
With so few needs and so many options, they are really just covering everything so that they're ready.
And I also like the fact that they're kind of keeping in mind that some of these guys, like Andre Smith, before the combine, was thought of as a top five pick.
Potential number one overall pick.
Now I think it's very reasonable to,
dropping like a pudgy little stone.
Envision him being available at 23. And I think if the Patriots want to make sure that they're in position where they have all the research done on these guys, regardless of where they're supposed to go, because I don't think there's a consensus top 10 or top seven like there has been in most years in the past.
Like,
and there's guys that could go 7, 8, 9. They could go 15, 16, 17. And when you're in position to move up, I think the Patriots need to know all these guys.
Bill has often said, I'll use Vontae's brother Vernon as an example, we're not going to be in range to take Vernon Davis, so we didn't do a lot of work on him.
Remember, you used to talk
about him. I believe him when he said that. Vince Young is another guy. I believe him when he says that. If he said it this year, there's four or five players, okay, I might believe him. Aaron Curry, Matthew Stafford, Eugene Monroe. But Andre Smith is a perfect example of a top five talent. You need to be ready at 23 to say, am I going to join the list of teams that think he's passable, that his negatives outweigh his athletic ability and on-field talents? Yeah. Or am I going to take a shot here and say I'm getting the best talent in the draft in the 23rd selection and it's too much value to pass up? And I think that's why you're seeing that type of a personal workout.
That's why I was also interested in the report about Malcolm Jenkins, because he's another guy who you maybe not a top five selection, but certainly he's been in a lot of top tens.
Mm-hmm.
And lately he's been seen more towards the latter half of the first round of the draft. So he's a guy who could be available, and I think it's interesting that they're doing their homework on him. Because if he were around in that 20 area, I could easily see them trying to go after him.
And he's another guy with the speed questions, and is he a corner or a safety? So maybe you host him to, because he sort of poo-pooed the safety talk at the combine. He looks at himself as a corner, wants to be a corner, thinks he is a corner, talked a lot about the things that he does are the same things that 5'10 cornerbacks do. So just, I'm bigger, maybe my time is a little slower, but watch the tape. I make plays just like they do. So maybe they're getting a feel for that. Is he going to be a problem if you try to move him to safety or put him as a full-time safety? Or maybe it's working him out more as a safety in what you'd ask him to do and getting a feel for those physical skills. But it certainly appears based on these they're covering all their bases at all positions. I mean, from quarterbacks, receivers, everything. Running backs.
All areas of the draft, too. You know,
there's not a position that they didn't.
You know, like
nose tackle, end,
nose tackle,
inside, outside.
Exactly the guy I was thinking of. I mean, he's not a first-day guy. I
right.
mean, he's a guy that you could take as a developmental backup nose tackle.
Right, from top to bottom in the draft, from every position. I mean, I guess I don't see any punters on here.
Was wide receiver on there?
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
Both kids from North Carolina.
That's right.
And then depending on where you see Pat White,
Brooks,
if you consider
Foster,
him
Brandon
a potential
Tate.
Wide receiver.
Yep.
I mean, they run the gamut. So I think it's interesting as we head towards the draft, the final homework and kind of they're putting, because right now we're talking about they're putting together the board. They're setting the board. Obviously, within the next week it has to be set. But, you know, I think by early next week, the bulk of their board is set, finalize it a little bit. So coming down the home stretch here with these workouts, I think it's interesting and be interesting to see how it affects the selection.
And this is a roster report, so we should probably even talk about some other aspects of the roster that could change, probably not before the draft. But, Eric, you talked about the report that Vic Carucci had with, what do you say, five trades that could happen?
Five possible trades that could still happen.
And one of
by
them
the draft.
Was still that Julius Peppers thing is still kind of floating around
it's
out
going
there.
Going down with the ship.
Vic Carucci's going down with it. You know, so that's interesting to see how that, you know, a move like that, if they were – let's put it, if they were thinking about making a trade like that, that obviously impacts how you're setting your board.
Sure.
And which direction you're going in terms of the first round. If you were to pick up a guy like Peppers, I would doubt that a Connor Barwin or Larry English makes a lot of sense at number 23.
Along those same lines, Armando Salguero in a chat this week said sort of a throwaway line that he thinks Taylor is going to choose the Patriots over the Dolphins, which would be another change to the roster that might make outside, well, it would eliminate outside linebacker being a quite as high priority immediate need and could change the type of player. Maybe you think Barwin is developmental and 3 years will be great. Could change the way you perceive that need on draft weekend.
I also thought it was interesting that they had Robert Ayers from Tennessee in for a visit because, Andy, did you know who his roommate was at the
Gerard
University of Tennessee?
Mayo.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Gerard Mayo, the guy that they picked last year.
He's a nice
number
player.
10.
Ayers does a lot of things well. I'm not sure exactly where he would fit for the Patriots, but he does a lot of things well. He's a pretty good athlete. I liked him.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that Gerard said about him when we talked to him yesterday. Was
was that a transition?
I'm
Did
sorry?
Did you just transition into Gerard Mayo?
It was sort of a segue, yes. Yes, it was.
Proceed.
We asked him about what he knew about Robert Ayers, and he said, you know, smart player, works hard, has some versatility. That's a lot of the traits that Belichick likes to look for in his players. So that's you're right, Paul. It's kind of an interesting game to sort of figure out what he might do if he comes here. But I think a lot of it depends on whether or not a Taylor or a Peppers is on the roster, too, because that will obviously limit how many reps he gets, how much playing time he sees, or even what position he actually plays. So that was interesting. But how would you rate Gerard Mayo's season last year, rookie year?
Very good.
Won the Defensive Rookie of the Year award, right?
Solid.
Solid, very
just
good.
Solid, steady.
All he lacked was playmaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't make any plays.
He didn't have a dynamic playmaking, but he was just solid every game.
Well, that's you answered the question perfectly, because Gerard said that he thought his season was okay, and that the one thing he really needed to work on in his game, aside from everything, which is the standard Patriot answer, is making plays, big
right.
plays.
No question.
I would agree with Gerard.
Forced fumbles, interceptions.
Right, he had none. He had no plays.
Nothing like that. No,
but
no big plays.
I would say he gets by without those because he was a rookie. And just coming mm-hmm. in and the fact that he played mm-hmm. 90% of the snaps from day one
right.
as a rookie, if he's in year four and I still see zeros in all the play columns, mm-hmm. he's not as good a player as I think he can be.
And I would add to the play column, in addition to the numbers that you're talking about with forced fumbles and stuff like that, but just, you know, third and one, here he comes, bang, fill in the gap, hits the running back in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
The other team's got a punt. That's a play. That's,
oh, sure.
That's a playmaker.
Sure.
You know, it's just a
get
tackle.
Get the offense off the field.
You know,
right.
on the stat sheet, it's just a tackle, but that's a play. For
he
me.
Had one of those this year on the
yeah.
goal line.
No, he did. He
it's
had
a nice play.
He had a few of those. I mean, but I'm talking about on a. Like, you're right, Andy. As a rookie, you know, you have high
as a
marks,
rookie, he had a great
high
year.
Marks across the board.
That year gets worse and worse every year. He keeps doing it if they don't
Gerard,
add plays to
it. He was okay in right. terms of an NFL football player.
Now you wondered at
compared
the,
to Monty Beisel in his first
well,
year in the system,
off the charts,
Hall of Fame baby,
off the charts by comparison to that.
You wondered at the top of this podcast, Andy, whether or not he had that same drive that he had last year. You know, he had the reputation of being a film rat, always in here 6 a.m. looking at tape, working out. Yeah, that hasn't changed at all. He's been here pretty consistently since the offseason ended, right before New Year's. He went home once, he said, for about a week, but he's been here ever since. He actually said, if I can find his direct quote here from the story, but he said something like, you're going to have to drag me out of here. You're going to have to lock the doors, change the keys, all that. He loves being here. He doesn't want to ever leave. He said the great thing about this, the difference about this offseason as opposed to last year is he's a full-time pro football player now, and he doesn't have to worry about writing papers or going on visits, pre-draft visits. All he has to worry about is football, and he comes in the morning, stays till as late as he possibly can until the cleaning people kick him out, I guess. Watching film, looking at what he did right, what he did wrong last year, looking at opponents, divisional stuff. So he's as more so than ever a student of the game and working out like crazy. When we actually talked to him, he had just literally walked from the weight room. So he was, you know, he didn't even take time to change. He was
glistening.
I'm sure he wasn't totally glistening, Andy, but for your imagery, I'll say, yeah, I'll go with that.
Now to pull this full circle,
mm-hmm.
Gerard Mayo, the future at inside linebacker, mm-hmm. the future should include Pro Bowls.
Yes.
A former Pro Bowler should be lined up next to him, likely, in the starting lineup, Teddy mm-hmm. Bruschi.
Yep.
Beyond that, not a lot on the depth chart. Gary Guyton proved himself as a situational rookie free agent a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Alexander has earned the phrase off-injured in his time here in New England.
Mm-hmm.
Even Larry Izzo, a guy who was on the depth chart as a linebacker, yeah. as an emergency goal line type guy at different times in his career, no longer around.
Yep.
What do we make of that, and will we see Bo Rude, also at inside linebacker. Don't know much about him since he was on IR all last year. Will we see an inside linebacker selected on draft weekend?
I believe so.
Day one?
Maybe not day one, but yeah, it's possible.
I think it will be on day one.
I mean, I do too.
But it is hard to say exactly when, depending on how it all unfolds. And, you know, we talked about all the different guys and how they all fit and how unpredictable it's been as to where, you know, our mock draft didn't include my favorite guy whose name I never pronounced.
Ray Maluga. Right?
You know, some other guys have him in the top 15.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's available at 23, I think you have to take a good, long, hard look at that.
Absolutely. And if he's not, then you might have to look for a guy like maybe Jasper Brinkley from South Carolina. Who's on the rise, but could still be available at the end of the second, early third. So.
Scott McKillop.
Yep.
My boy out of Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
Jasper Brinkley, I'm telling you, he's going to be a good player.
He might be. It won't be
here. He's going to get more.
His value has fallen for here.
He's going to get more of his athleticism back as he gets further away.
Won't be in New England, though, Paul.
One last note about Mayo and the role that he wants to continue to take and develop into a Pro Bowler and that sort of thing. We asked him about the green dot because that was primarily, you know, for the defensive communication. Mike Vrabel predominantly wore that last year and took a lot of the...
Probably still will, just won't be
probably
here.
Probably still will and won't be here. But Mayo did that a couple of times last year, where he wore the dot on the field, and so, you know, he hasn't really talked about it with Bill too much, but he sort of alluded to the fact that he expects to probably wear that dot more often and be the guy who gets that.
I'd be stunned if he doesn't have it every single week. I mean, he's your every down linebacker
right.
now.
Mm-hmm.
He
right.
and Adalys Thomas, I would assume, will wear it. Mm-hmm. Those would be your two each and every week because those are the guys that are most likely to be on the field all the time.
Yep.
Before we wrap this podcast up, I do want to say Bill Belichick attending University of Florida coaching camp this coming weekend along with Tampa Bay Buccaneers' John Gruden. Obviously, Belichick has a good relationship with Urban Meyer, and they've really evolved that. While he's down there, maybe, hey, Percy, how are you? What you doing? You're dropping second round. Come to New England, Wildcat. Hey.
I'll say it like that.
You never know what Bill's going to say or what he's going to do.
Hey, it's his birthday this week. He can do whatever
and
he wants.
And it's happy birthday. Bill Belichick celebrates another birthday on the coaching staff roster here in New England. Well, that's going to do it for another podcast here on Patriots.com. No real roster moves this week, but you brought you a step closer to the draft with all the visits, all the draft picks, all the prospects. 1 week to go. Before we find out, all the speculation will come to an end next weekend.
I'm ready.
Prime time, April 25th, when the Patriots pick.
I'm not ready for that.
And PFW Progress will be there, 6 to 9, Saturday night, telling you all about the draft. Until we talk to you next week in a podcast, take care.
Podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com. Time to win.